WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively a drug city in my homeland of Dundalk. I've worn the good stuff today. I got the Dundalk Hall of Fame shirt on, but I am not the only Hall of Famer that's going to be here today. We have a real Hall of Famer, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Gina Shock's going to be coming by a little later on. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Yes, they have a crab cake here at the Fountain at Drug City, but we're not at the Fountain. We're upstairs. We're in the tasting room. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play, giving away some Raven scratch-offs, as well as our friends at Goodwill. And Stan Jablonski stole my Window Nation hat. Big appreciation to all of our sponsors for making this happen. Bye week for the Ravens. Big election week. This is the only elected official that I'm having on the show this week, although if you got the Baltimore Positive, you can see conversations with everybody from West Moore to Barry Glassman to Heather Mazier to
former county
David
executive.
Marks. I mean, just people all across the plains. I haven't had Johnny O on. I haven't had McDonough. I've gotten some people on, and some people haven't made it on, and some people have blown me off. And I'm sure I'll hear from Brooke Learman after the election. But Todd Crandall is here. He is my Dundalk homeboy on the other side of the aisle. So I do have Democrats and Republicans. I will not be voting Republican here. Full disclosure, anybody that knows that knows me knows that about me. But I do like hearing where you're coming from and how our community's doing and how your campaign's going. We've known each other since childhood. And I guess this is the nitty-gritty these last couple of days. As we sit here and speak, we're four or five days out. I talked to you before the primary back at Costas about 6 months ago.
Correct.
What is the state of running for local office in 2022?
Well, we're in the last, three and a half days now. And it's a bit of a frenzy. You want to be everywhere. You want to make sure that you're talking to your constituents and reminding them to vote, certainly, and please vote my way. So it's there's so many different things to do if you want to get out and press the flesh, as they say, from community events to we just had a ton of trunk or treats in the Dundalk Essex area, which are really fun. So you get to meet the parents and give the kids some candy. So I did a few of those. So you you just crank it out right through till the polls close on Tuesday.
Well, I mean, your dad did this, right? I mean, you grew up in a political family, right? I mean, that there's a little bit of a clock for people. I mean, one of the things for me, I talked about running for mayor a couple of years ago, and you know, Don Mueller's in my space, and he's been doing this for two decades, you know, and working in regard to politics as an activist for a long, long time. There's a different thing between being an activist, a supporter, a guy holding your sign, going out and helping you knock doors, than being the guy in the tie and being the man in the... Well, I saw Winston Churchill there. That was a Teddy Roosevelt line. But being the man in the arena, as we would say, right?
I think there's a difference because ultimately, win or lose, it falls on your shoulders. And it's your campaign. You take advice and you have people that help you. And hopefully you do a good job in listening to them and taking their advice when it's good. But ultimately it's your name on the ballot. So you're responsible for that. It's something that, you know, I take seriously, but, so it's interesting. You mentioned, or asked me about campaigning leading up to election day on Tuesday. Well, I'm the incumbent. So I still have a job to do. So we were just in the office this morning talking about constituent issues, taking care of some things, talking to county agencies.
Well, I'm Facebook friends with you. When a water main breaks, I see that you're out saying we got a water main break and
I do that.
Fixing it.
Yeah, I do that as a I don't like posting them because it's not the best news. But I do that so the community knows that the authorities that are going to take care of it, that they don't need to call anybody. It's already being taken care of. The city who runs our water system, they've reported it to us. So I like to get that word out that you don't have to worry. Authorities know. You don't have to stress out about it. It will be fixed. Hopefully it's fixed sooner rather than later, of course. But those are the things. So I'm not posting, hey, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. I'm posting things that I'm hoping that are of use and of value, for the most part, for use and value to our constituents. When you're in local government like I am, we call it pothole government because it's really not about R&D.
I hear that from local people all the time.
It's
and a lot of you don't want to engage in the... you know, the Trump Biden, because it doesn't affect you to that degree.
I'm worried about things like safety in our schools. I'm worried about job creation in our district, especially, and you're having Aaron Tamarkio from TradePoint in later. Look at what happened to the Dundalk area when GM left and Bethlehem Steel left. So that was one of the biggest things that I just went to work on right away. Thankfully, we had local investors invest in the Bethlehem Steel property, really turned it around, where when they took over 7 years ago, there were no jobs at the point anymore. Now there's over 12,000.
Well, they're trying to put a nuclear reactor down there.
It was LNG.
Right. Yeah. Well, fine. But I mean,
so it's
what it became has not been such a bad outcome for this community.
No.
Given where my father working down there at the point, my mom getting $65 a month or whatever the hell she was getting at the end of her life, that something needed to change here. And that's why I'm always happy to have Aaron on, have you on, quite frankly, because people poop on Dundalk, and they shouldn't.
Well, they shouldn't. And, look at where we're sitting now. Drug City is a weird name.
Been coming right? my whole life.
But it's a Dundalk institution. George, the owner, like a lot of our local business people, are philanthropic. They're part of the community fabric. They go out of their way to do things. They don't ask for...
I saw a couple ladies when I came in downstairs working that I think were working here in the 80s or not.
I don't doubt it. There are employees
that are here. Chuck's over here nodding his head. But like literally when I saw them, I'm like... This I come in here often enough. I'm in here once a month buying beer, literally. I have the little white six pack thing from the different. We get all sorts of chocolate stout, nitro,
right? And the slogan. Hibiscus. The slogan. Do you know the slogan? The slogan is
"It tastes good."
No. If we don't have it, you don't need it. That's the Drug City slogan. So it's just
they should sponsor.
And it is.
I could say that pretty well.
It is such
ships away. From
it is such. Drug City is part of the community fabric, has been since we were kids, and it's part of what makes us real.
I like what they've done to the adult room downstairs, the old video room. They made that, they turned that into a place that's got milkshakes now.
That's right. Well, and milkshakes that you can make adult milkshakes, right. So, and look at what we get a bad rap in Dundalk, you're right, but look at what's happened to us. So we went from... the industry leaving, we really hit rock bottom. All the indicators there, we were hitting rock bottom. People moving out so they could be closer to job centers. And economically, and it's not just me, it's a lot of people, and certainly the private sector has stepped up, where now we have a job base, and we're seeing the impact of TradePoint, not only in creating an economic development center and a job center, we're seeing investment come in other places. So it's been a spark for a lot of investment to come back into Dundalk. But when we talk about places like Drug City, I know I've mentioned Key Brewing on your show before. Costas, Squires, like that's special to us here in Dundalk, and we're proud of it. And I think that what I'm experiencing is that people are starting to really talk about Dundalk as being the proud place that it once was that you and I remember. Right. And I love that. I got to give my stepdaughter a plug. She now holds the school record in pole vault, girls pole vault at Dundalk High School.
Well, then she should legitimately be in the Hall of Fame, unlike me.
There you go. I'm not in the Hall of Fame
either. Snuck in the side door. I heard from Derek Mackey this morning, and this is crazy that I'm here today. There's some reason, right?
Yeah.
Gina Schock happens to be in town. Dundalk, I've always wanted to have her on. Just weird. I ran into Chuck 2 weeks ago at Costas, which is how this whole thing kind of happened. But Alan Stock at Dying last week... has like, and I know there's algorithms that Zuckerberg's given me in the metaverse and all that, but the Dundalk thing's been all over my page this week in some way, and memories and good things about Dundalk. You know, the reasons people love drugs. I had a conversation last week about the East Point Penguins shopping center, and there's still people that don't believe. I told people that they had penguins at East Point Mall, and they're like,
They were there.
Real penguins? And I'm like, yeah, they were real penguins there when I was a kid.
Yeah. And so we have a lot of that nostalgia. We certainly do. But I think that we've also moved
forward. Can you bring the water tower back? I mean, aren't you in charge of things?
I'm not in charge of East Point Mall now.
And I want it to be maroon and white and gray and look like a tomato can. The way God made those gold balls over, who put those things over there? I know what you're going to say. It's city run.
Well, it is city run, and we do need them. And you bring up a sore subject for me because I'm not really I'm not real pleased with how the city has handled the problems over there. But we kind of need those golden eggs over there. So,
you ever been inside them?
Not in the egg. No. There's probably a few people that want to put
my
me in
childhood
them,
friend Robert Tobilius worked there for 30 years.
I've never been in the. I've been in the plant. I've toured the plant.
Last time I saw you, we were at Heritage Fair. And it was raining, like the storm came in. It was like biblical. It was like a Toto storm, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we all ran for cover. And I wound up down at Brillhart's Bar on the other side of St. Helena. It used to be the airport.
Airport, yeah. It's Pickles now.
Okay. So, what do you ask?
Is that right?
So I wound up drinking in there. Yeah. With my buddy Rob Debilius, who worked at the plant for his whole life. And he's retired now. And he was explaining all sorts of really esoteric, difficult things that are done there. That when we flush the toilet, not my problem anymore. It's Crandall's problem if you're in Dundalk and it's a pipes break.
Yeah.
But you know where it's going. It's
a sore subject with me. What
could be better?
Well,
don't be a politician.
Give me a solution.
Give me a solution.
What happened was that the people in charge of running the plant were not maintaining the plant. So then when you have...
As I heard from my buddy, by the way, because it was a topic.
So you have 11, I think they're called, they're some sort of filter that they have. I'm not a wastewater engineer, but you have 11 of them. Well, only two of them were online because they weren't maintained. So the only way to alleviate the pressure of waste coming into the plant is to turn the valve open and send it into Back River, which is a real shame, obviously. And we had what amounted to, my estimation, an environmental catastrophe. And constituents are posting, the public is posting pictures of brown water coming out of the plant. And meanwhile, as a taxpayer, I'm sitting there going, well, didn't we just put almost $1 billion into that place? How is it not running properly? But when you don't maintain your equipment, it's like your car. If you don't change your oil, your engine's going to seize. So that's what happened to the plant. So there's sort of a little battle with the governor and the mayor. The governor took the plant over, sent Maryland Environmental Services in there. I advocated that they stay there, and Maryland MES, I'll call them, are still there. And they're needed there.
I love
because
when a Republican wants oversight. I just want to say that.
You have
to have oversight.
So here's my solution. You asked me for a solution and not just complain about the problem. So if you're a Baltimore County homeowner, you get your property tax bill every year, and there's a line item on your bill, which is the Metropolitan District fee. And that is a fee that Baltimore County collects and then sends it over. Majority of it sends it over to Baltimore City because Baltimore City owns our reservoirs, our wastewater treatment plants, all the infrastructure that gets water into our homes and waste out of our homes. They've been in charge of it since Baltimore County was a chartered county, really. So, but it's an archaic system. I think that the city is overwhelmed, and we need to, and this would be not a matter for the county council, it would be a matter for the General Assembly to provide enabling legislation that would create a regional water authority similar to what Washington, D.C. has.
If Mueller were here right now, he knows I talk about water more than anything, because I think if somebody really wanted to be nefarious, that would
it's
end
scary.
The community.
That is,
I mean, what happened in Flint, Michigan,
scary.
We had in Baltimore here a couple weeks ago, right?
Another indicator as to why, you know, that we need better authority, we need oversight, as you said, and we need people to be held accountable. We don't think about these things until something goes wrong, and then it's really bad and it's really wrong, because water is the lifeblood of human life, right? And
correct.
Then and then if you just look through history, we got rid of so many diseases when we learned that sanitation is the right way to go instead of dumping your waste out into the street. So if you have these plants that aren't functioning well, Patapsco is not functioning well either. I think that Patapsco might even be worse than Back River. Patapsco City, I don't want to bang on the city so much, but you know, here are two state-of-the-art facilities the taxpayers have invested a lot of money in, and they're not working properly. Some of the reasons why, staffing shortages, but then this was pre-COVID that happened to Back River. They weren't maintaining it. So the machinery broke down. So to me, the mayor really needed to step up and say, I'm fixing this. Or I need help in fixing it.
Well, we had several years we didn't have a mayor, and, right? Like, literally. I mean, I lived in the city, so I...
Mayor Scott fought Governor Hogan on taking the plan over. And I'm not sure why he fought that, because we needed help.
I'll ask him when I get together with him.
Please do.
Todd Crandall's here. We're at Drug City. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Giving some scratch-offs away. I got more Ravens tickets. I thought I was going to have Game of Life. I have Ravens tickets throughout November. We'll be at Pappas in 2 weeks up at Timonium. Also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. Want to remind everybody, still looking for volunteers. On the 23rd, I'm going down, rolling my sleeves up in the city. They feed 3,000 folks. Our friends at Goodwill are actually getting the turkeys from Wise Markets. Big shout-out to our friends at Wise Markets and helping us with that. So I tried to orchestrate that a little bit. This is something that's been going on for a long, long time. I had Lisa Rosiniak on, so we'll be doing that on the 23rd. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so looking for some volunteers. My wife and I are going to get out and help out. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, made locally, and I'm going to have some friends on from Window Nation at the Crab Cake Tour 2 weeks from now. Last thing, and on the election side of this and running for office, just the state of Nancy Pelosi's husband getting hammered. I mean, like, just awful things. Let's go back to the insurrection. We can get through all of this. Is there any point for you to think that this can get a little more calm on both sides of the aisle to the middle, that we don't need some weird tragedy to bring us together? But the divisiveness, it's unbelievable. It really is.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Which is why I try to sit next to Republicans and to Democrat and saying, hey, man, let's play nice here.
I think a lot of people are exhausted by it. And, so I had an opportunity to present a county council proclamation to Daughters of the American Revolution on Constitution Day. And what I told them was a story about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's first private sit-down with Mikhail Gorbachev. Ronald Reagan asked him what appears on the surface to be a silly question. He said, if invaders from space came down and invaded the USA, would you help us? And Mikhail Gorbachev said, yes, I would. And Ronald Reagan said the same thing. He said, well, we would help you too. And that seemed like a silly question on the surface, but really it was the icebreaker to say, hey, we're enemies here, but we got to talk this out. And I think if we get back to the question that we should ask ourselves, and I should ask you, you're more liberal than I am, right? Is, hey, Nestor, if the Constitution was being threatened in some way, would you help me defend it? Because that's the basis of our government. That's the basis of everything. And yes, I'm a conservative Republican. You are not. But as soon as you call me a name, we're having a discussion, and you call me a name or I call you a name, the conversation is over. And nothing gets solved. So I agree with you. I think that we have to get back to discourse. I think it is totally appropriate to be passionate about your beliefs, but not so much that you want to commit a violent act because you're not getting your way. And, you know, I think that we've seen this in...
Or calling the election fixed when you know it's not, Tom.
I'm not even going down that road. But, the thing is that you can't live in the past. Because the only thing that we have in life is right now in this moment. What am I doing in this moment that's going to make my day better tomorrow? And then tomorrow, I'm in the moment, and I got to do what I'm going to do to make the next day better. If you get wrapped up in something that is in the past and let that cloud everything that you're doing, how productive are you being for yourself, for your family, for your community, for your country? So You know, we got to, and there's folks on the left. You got to get over some of the stuff that
I'm not
that
getting
drives
over the insurrection. I'll have you know that.
Well,
so
you know,
I'm just letting you know. If you storm the Capitol, you should go to jail. That's pretty.
Well, violence isn't going to solve anything. And people said that we went to war, and that was violent. But that was we declared war. We went to war. But the Boston Tea Party, that was throwing tea into the bay, right, or into the harbor. That wasn't a violent act, right? So, and I posted on Facebook, and I took some heat for it. I posted that I don't think a patriot would do that. Now, of course, there's some people that say, hey, we need to take back our government. They do believe that the election was stolen.
Take back their government. They can vote on Tuesday.
Well,
that's how you take back your government. You vote.
Well, that's why we have the system that we do.
Right.
But if we lose faith in each other, we're really at a bad point. And if we lose faith in our election system, then we're really in trouble, because then you're set up for either anarchy or totalitarianism, which we see how well that's working in Russia right now, right? So, I do believe that.
Well, now that the Saudi Arabians have a hold of Twitter, it's all going to fix things.
We can, but
and a whack job from South Africa.
The thing is,
we'll figure all that out.
I'm one of three Republicans on the county council with a Democratic county executive, and I don't agree. And I vote against the county executive all the time, and he expects me to vote against some of the stuff that he wants to do. But we also are able to have conversations where now we're doing things. One of the things we did together, and Aaron will be here from Trade Point. We're building a state-of-the-art, brand-new waterfront park right near Trade Point. Trade Point donated the property to Ballmer County. And it's going to be a fantastic project.
I saw you there doing that recently, right? Am I right?
Maybe.
Did you talk about
maybe.
It?
I think we talked about it at Costas.
Okay, that's what it is.
We
okay.
did talk about it. So the county executive and I don't see eye to eye on certain things, but we don't argue so much that it's a detriment to the people that we were elected to serve. And I think that as an elected official, as somebody currently running for office, I think we do a disservice to our system. We do a disservice to the people that we're asking to vote for us and to vote for me. We do a disservice to them if we let conversations break down and we can't get a new park. We can't agree to fund certain things that I would like to see funded. I want to get certain neighborhoods in our district. We're behind on road resurfacing. Well, if I need to have a conversation with the county executive on the next road resurfacing season to make sure that
he loves Dundalk too, right?
Well, he lives in Miller's Island,
right.
And he grew up in Dundalk. But he has to do that with every other council member. But if the county executive and I weren't talking, I'm not doing my job getting the services and the things that we want to see happen in our district, in Dundalk, Essex, Sparrows Point, Fort Howard. I'm not, if the discourse breaks down, we're sitting there like we felt years ago where we weren't being paid attention to. Now we're being paid attention to. And even with the county executive's predecessor, we were still getting things done. And one of the ways that you get things done, you develop relationships with people in county agencies. So you can't do anything without communication and relationships. And we made a conscious effort to get to know these people, treat them with respect, don't yell and scream at them when they have a delay in what you need them to do, help them along as you can. But that's all about keeping your temper. It's about being a leader, and it's about treating people, the golden rule, right? It's about treating people as you would like to be treated. So you and I, we might not see eye to eye on certain issues, but we can sit down and talk about it without...
We do,
without, right, and without coming to blows, right?
Not yet.
Well, we'll see.
keep serving me whiskey down here.
The day is young, and there's a lot
of
bourbon.
I get that fire water. I get that anger going up.
We're down at Drug City. It's all brought to you
by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, and Window Nation. Todd Crandall is our guest. We're upstairs here at the tasting room at Drug City, and they're going to bring me a crab cake. You ever had a crab cake at the fountain?
I have not had a crab cake here.
Today's your day.
All right.
Today's going to be the lucky day. It's really good seeing you. I know you're in and out. We're going to have Gina Schock by. Ron West is here. I think Aaron Tamarkio is coming by. I'm moving guests in and out. Chuck and George are going to be here as well from Drug City. And favorite Drug City memory when you were a kid? You got one? I mean, no? Did you rent videotapes here?
Favorite men? Not those types of videotapes.
No, I mean, they had those
guys?
Really? Did they?
Well, back in the day.
I never went behind the curtain.
Back in the day.
I didn't know there was a restaurant there the whole time.
There was not a restaurant, but that was where the adults went, and I don't know what they were
doing.
Not till
you're 18,
there.
Son.
My cousin, Lisa, who you know, were in her class, right? She worked here. She was the clerk at the video counter.
Well, maybe she slid it the other way when I brought back the tapes and I didn't rewind them and I have to pay that 50 cents.
Well,
George told me that he has yet to have anybody, so I'm giving a shout out, that has brought back a videotape from Drug City in that era.
That would have the old box,
right, with a little orange dot on the back or whatever the hell it was.
Put the word out. I'm sure somebody's got someone in the garage or basement somewhere up in the attic or something.
Well, I said to George when I met him, I'm like, I might still have an old videotape, or there's probably some old rewind fees, like old library debts from being late. Right.
You probably owe Drug City a lot of money. Interest.
Yeah, man. The people that owned it back, they banged me every time I brought it back. Every time I didn't rewind, I paid 50 cents. And more than that, this was the scam of the videotape era. You'd show up on the weekends. It was always like $1.50 or two. It was a little more on a Friday or Saturday. And people would line up to get the tapes when they came back. And kids today, they just, you know, I go out to Hulu. I go out to Netflix. I do it on demand, you know.
So I
had to watch football game on Amazon Prime the other night.
I give my my second cousins, really my nieces and nephew, I give them a bogus present every year for Christmas. So I got them Vienna sausages, Spam, roll of toilet paper. So this year, I'm going to go search out. I'm going to get some cassette tapes and see if they even have any clue.
They want to know what to do with
any clue what to even do with them. Yeah.
There'll be like a gorilla in a cage pulling the string out. What's this do, Dad?
Right.
You know, what am I doing with this thing? So the videotape thing, the way they would scam you, I lived over on Kane Street, right? So I would come down here because they always had the biggest selection here. It's before Blockbuster. I don't want corporate stuff. So you would, like Thursday night, you'd be like, oh, man, I'll be home this weekend. I'm going to rent Purple Rain, Prince, I'm going to rent this, that, the new Schwarzenegger, you know. And you bring like five of them home and you think, I'm going to do this. And then like Sikowski call me or like, you know, Rob DiPiccio, like, hey, man, there's girls at the beach this weekend, man. We're going to the beach. Get in. Let's go to the beach. And next thing you know, you're like Sunday morning hungover in Ocean City. You're like, man, I had to get the videotapes back on Saturday. And then you get home and you have to work and you forget. And like on Wednesday, you'd show up with five videotapes and it'd be like $32. And you didn't even watch the movies. Then you have to rent again the next week.
That's
my history with videotapes.
I'm not so sure that the Drug City was scamming you. I think you scammed yourself.
Or you'd rent a tape.
Come on, man. Live up to your...
Listen, this is true. I was single
rental.
Then. You'd rent the tape, and you get back home, and like the girl you've been waiting for broke up with Joe over in Gray Manor, and she wanted to come over tonight, and she didn't really want to watch movies, and you didn't rent the right kind because you didn't know you could get behind a curtain. So, right? So what would happen is you wouldn't watch the movie. There would always be something. The ball game. Hey, I got tickets. Hey, Kicks is playing at Hammerjack's. And you wouldn't watch the movies.
So
That's what happened to me.
I think that we have something else. So we're different parties, right? Think about the world a little bit different way. I think that we have another difference. Your dates were totally different than mine.
Would you go to Farrell's and get ice cream at Golden Ring? Do something special?
I don't know, but I wasn't going into the adult room at Drug City.
You know what was special when we were kids? I'm not bagging on Dundalk, but if you took a girl on a date out of Dundalk, just anywhere, you go to Golden Ring. It didn't need to be fancy. You didn't need to go to Towson. You didn't need to go downtown to the Scupper, to Harbor.
Skateland.
Take a girl down to the Harbor on a date. That was serious.
That's fancy. Yeah, that was a big deal.
You thought so, and I busted Chuck up here because when I parked, I parked in a way. And by the way, Chuck, I want somebody to go down in my car and get. I have copies of Purple Rain. I was going to give to everybody, but I will do that. We'll do that. We're at the break. So I pulled up, and it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when I got here. There's nobody on North Point Road. I just front ended it over toward what used to be was at the Elks Lodge over there, and I backed up this way right on the, what was the thing? So I've never parked in front of the building because I'm smarter than that, right? Because you never wanted to be backing out. So
I
always
out.
Parked, and I said this to Chuck. I said, I used to park over by Papa Leone's. He's like, I haven't heard that in a long time. You knew Papa Leone's. I said, I had my prom date there. So my prom date, ninth grade prom, she's watching.
Right.
So she was a Patapsco girl. So I went to Papa Leone's in the parking lot here, right? So that was a Dundalk. We stayed in Dundalk. But if I would have just gone to like the Fillmore, right? I mean, just over to Rosedale, out of Dundalk, even Essex.
Did you ever go to Skateland?
Nah, not Essex. You can't. You take a girl from Dundalk.
Did you go to Skateland? Well, I always joke that people in Essex don't know where that bridge leads to over Back River, and the people in Dundalk, they don't know where that.
Say that I went to Essex. So I went to Subhaven all the time. I went. My doctor was.
Essex is pretty cool. I mean, it's got some good things going for it.
But are you trying to get elected there?
Yes.
Yeah, I just say Todd Crandall's here. I knew your district was across the way.
It is.
Any red-blooded Dundalk person would not speak wisely about Essex unless they were trying to get elected. Vote for Todd. He's down here in Dundalk doing his thing, trying to fix the plant. Not the plant we talked about. If you want
I want the people that are responsible for fixing it to fix it and maintain it.
A listener of mine, Jimmy, sent me a Dundalk mug. That has all of it. Has the old East Point Shopping Center. It has Captain Harvey Squires. It has all GM. It has all these things on it. But it has the proper plant. It has the tomato can with the gray bottom and the red and white checkerboard. That's never coming back, though, is it?
I doubt it.
The Penguins aren't coming back to the mall.
Penguins aren't coming back. No, that's a possibility. We can talk to the general manager over there. I know he's been asked.
Go run for office.
All right.
Todd Crandall, we grew up together.
Thanks, Nestor.
He wrestled. I watched wrestling. I got a Hall of Fame shirt for being a letterman in my sophomore year, and Derek Mackey eased me in. Are you in the Dundalk Hall of Fame?
I'm not. I didn't go to Dundalk High School.
That's right. You didn't.
I didn't. I went to Gilman. I'm not in their Hall of Fame either.
It's a nice tie. That's a very Dundalk thing for me to say to a guy in a tie. I went to Gilman. You get elected in Dundalk, you went to Gilman. See, I thought you had to go to Dundalk, Patapsco, or Spurs, but I thought that was part of, or Curly.
Norwood, Hollabird, Gilman.
Not Mount Carmel.
Nope.
My parents gave me the option to go to Mount Carmel or Curly, and I'm like, no. Yeah, no.
Well, I tell you what.
Dundalk High.
I did that commute up to Gilman for 4 years, and I'm thankful for it. Still good buddies.
You should get elected for office for doing that.
Well.
It's a long way to go. My parents were going to send me to McDonough at one point. That's really long way to go.
That would have been a huge mistake because McDonough's awful.
I would have flunked out. It would have been terrible for me.
I only say that because Gilman
McDonough's
huge.
It would have been like Penn State for me.
Huge rivalry.
Holden Caulfield. I'm Nestor. We are WNST. I got to get him out of here. We're Drug City. We're going to come back, do more. Ron's going to join me next. We're going to talk rock and roll. He wore his car shirt.